Hey, this is Perry Marshall. I'm here with Joshua Boswell. Joshua is a professional copywriter, and he's my one of my right-hand men here. And we have a really interesting topic that we want to talk about. It just came up in a conversation today, and it kind of encapsulates something that I think is really critical. For people to survive and prosper in a competitive market. And closer to the end of this call, I'm going to actually give you a tool that we think is really useful. And it's not just useful, it's kind of critical. It's gonna help a whole bunch of puzzle pieces fall in place. It's going to explain what has been successfully been done to you when you buy something, and help you successfully do the same thing to others when they buy something.
The full circle of marketing, isn't
the
it
full
beautiful?
circle. Well, you know what's supposed to happen. Let's not be cynical here.
No,
What's
of
supposed to
course.
happen is we get up and we go to work and we do things for people. And they give us money, and then they do things for us, and we give them money, and
That's right.
everybody's happier. And everybody says, "Well, I could have got up this morning and done nothing, but I sure am happier because we all did something, and the world like got to a better place because we did something, right?"
That's right.
So, Perry's theory of economics:
That's
you get up in the
right.
morning and you go to work. Isn't that original?
It is quite original. There's other economic doctrines out there that forget the other half of the equation, but that's okay.
Maynard Keynes, eat your heart out,
That's
or
right.
whatever his name is. So here's what the first thing that we're going to talk about before we get to this magic formula is another kind of magic formula, and I'm just gonna tell you a little story. It's about 5 years ago, and I'm at this conference, and there's a gentleman there named Bill Harrison, and I have known Bill for a very long time. I'd probably already been friends with Bill for 2 or 3 years or something, and he comes up to me and he goes, "Perry, I got an idea for you." And I go, "Okay." So we sit down at the bar, and he says, "Let me explain my idea." He goes, "Perry, you need to start a coaching program for Google AdWords." And I look at him like, "Okay." I didn't know what to think of it. Like, what do you mean? Like, you're gonna have to explain this. And he says, "I bought your AdWords book, and it's a great book and everything, and I liked it. But I've only done like 10 or 20% of all the stuff in there, and I know that I'm not going to do the other 80% all by myself. Like, I need somebody to beat me into submission and teach me and show me every step and help this, all get implemented. And I think you should start a coaching program where you help people do that." And I'm still thinking, "Well, Bill, it's your fault that you can't open a book and read it and do the stuff like
I wrote it clear enough. Go follow step 1 through 5 on page 67 and 68, idiot.
exactly.
Right.
But I'm still not totally. And so he kind of rewind, replay, and he goes through this, and he says, "No, look. There's some people, they're gonna buy a book and they're gonna open it, they're gonna read it, they're following instructions." But he says people learn in different ways. Sometimes people need to hear it, people need to see it, but most important, they need somebody to walk them through it and explain it. And like, I had never done a coaching program, not like what he was talking about. He had done this kind of thing before. And so what unfolds, he I so Bill, how would you do this? And well, you'd have You'd probably have group coaching calls, but you'd also have one-on-one calls where you look at the person's AdWords account and you show them what they're doing wrong, what they could do right, what could they do better. Okay, I'm starting to get it. And then he says, but there's other things that you can help them with too, like their landing pages and their sales pages. And you could talk to them about, you know, sending them emails and autoresponders and things like that. And all of a sudden, this begins to gel. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to help people do this instead of just leaving them on their own. And he goes, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I get it. So he gets this idea out, and it sounds great. All right? And nobody else is doing this, you know. And, well, you know, what should I charge for this? And he gives me an idea of what kind of prices that you would typically charge for things like this. And now I want everybody to understand that as soon as he explained this to me and I understood it, that was only half or maybe a third of the battle. Okay, because I had to enlarge my brain in order to actually do this. Mm. Okay.
Well, so I mean the battle ended up being the internal turmoil that was going on with inside of you to say, yeah, can we put this together and can I really do it and all that kind of stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and in particular, it was the internal battle of, I've never charged my customers this kind of money before for anything.
Yeah.
Okay. At the time, I had a $49, $97, and $197 definitive guide to Google AdWords. I had this other course that I sold for, there was a $700 version, a $1,500 version. And I was not accustomed to taking more than about $1,000 from anybody at any one time. And, you know, I quickly forgot after it all, you know, was launched, which I'll get to. But after I started doing it, I almost forgot how much internal resistance I had to doing this.
Wow.
Okay. Now, by the way, this call isn't really about that. This is about everybody that's listening and whatever their version of this would be, you know, in your market, in their market, okay? Because everybody fights this battle.
Yeah.
Everybody fights a battle whenever they raise the ceiling of what they do, okay? And also, there's a really important point here, which is if you can visualize how much more helpful it is to have a real person with a lot of experience going into your Google account, looking at your web pages, talking to you about your USP and your customers and your sales funnel and everything. If you can appreciate how much better that is than just opening a book, okay,
yeah.
then maybe you can also appreciate that in your market, whatever you sell, I mean, maybe you sell women's shoes, or maybe you sell martial arts classes, or maybe you sell high-end software, or maybe you're a consultant, but whatever it is that you sell, there is probably a quantum leap of what you could sell if you were to deliver your customers a whole higher level of giving them what they want.
Mm.
Okay? Delivering results.
Well, that's sort of a nauseating thought, because it means all of us are sitting on mountains of money that we haven't tapped into yet.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. And this, by the way, if you can if you can take the ceiling of whatever is the best thing that you've ever tried to offer your customers and push it up another story, the whole economics of your business changes.
Yeah.
And when the whole economics of your business changes, it becomes suddenly much easier to compete in a really competitive market. It's easier to buy clicks. It's easier to go back to existing customers that you might already have a whole bunch of and have something new to sell them. It's easier to have a big payday.
Yeah.
Okay. But there will be resistance. Mm-hmm. Whoever, you know, is listening to this, to our conversation, can probably already think of some things that you could do. Now, of course, you got to, you know, go back and forth about, well, what would that look like? But all that aside, you can already probably picture, oh, yeah, well, you know, we could sell something that's 10 times as expensive and delivers 10 times as much value. And this is kind of scary. It's a little audacious.
You know how the resistance always shows up for me. It shows up in lethargy and inactivity. It's like the project sits on my desk and I push it to the one side and work on something, and then I procrastinate it and do something else, and then I'm gonna get to it tomorrow.
Yep.
And then I really don't, and you know, months go by and this killer idea, it sits there,
and I do it too.
Yeah.
And I like the day that I'm supposed to put all this together and organize it and finish it or start it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm checking my email like every 5 minutes, and about 3 months ago, the stock of some corporation was $7.85. I got to go to Yahoo Finance and see what it is today. Why? Well, there's no real particular reason why. I'm just curious, and for some reason, I'm extra curious today. And
yeah.
what's going on Twitter? Yeah. Oh my goodness, and. Oh yeah, I need to call and schedule a doctor appointment, and I do this, okay, and I'll tell you what happened when, so Bill gives me this whole idea and I write it down and I roll it around in my head and I basically have the idea cemented in my head of what we're gonna do.
Right.
And so now I've got to write a sales letter and get it all out there and stick it on a web page and go ask everybody for the money.
Right.
And you wouldn't believe the stuff that's going on inside my head. Like I remember one day, I remember this really clearly. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm in front of my computer. It's like, okay, I got this done. I got this done. I got this done. I got this done. I got all the fires put out. Now it's time to sit down and write copy. And I sit down, and I open a document, and it's white. And the next thought that comes into my head is, Perry, you need a haircut. Your hair is too – just go get a haircut.
There's no way you can write a good sales letter with that kind of a mop on your head. Go get that thing cut, sir.
That's right. And I'm like, I hate getting haircuts.
Right.
Why am I even thinking this? Like, yeah. When I get a haircut, I go to the Spanish beauty salon so that the person cutting my hair speaks Spanish, not English, so that I don't have to sit there and make small talk about how many kids I have and all this other kind of stuff. Like, seriously, like, yeah. I don't enjoy getting my hair cut, yeah. You know? And
you must have really been looking forward to writing that sales letter. If you were even thinking about getting your hair cut at an American shop. That's how much resistance you had.
My brain was not was struggling to adjust to this, and it's just before Christmas, and we go to Laura's parents' house, and like okay, I have to go to the library where nobody can bother me and there's no TV and I have to write this. And I did. I went to the library and I wrote it. And Laura's mom is like, "So what's Perry, what is this thing that Perry's all like uptight about or what?" And she's like, "Well, he's got this thing that's gonna make him $150,000, and he's just like, you know, he's having a hard time with it." And it was true. Like, it was like I'd never asked my customers for this much money before, and it was a stretch. It was out of my comfort zone. And I made myself do it. Okay? Now, I want to point out, I would have never done it if Bill hadn't said, "Perry, I know you could do this. I know there's people that want this. Nobody is providing this." He's like, "Well, Bill believed in me." And you know, really making $100,000 on the internet is fundamentally the same as making $1. It's just the number of zeros. And I don't want to trivialize it, because yeah, there are other differences between making, but really it's only a matter of size and scope, you know, and it's still HTML and it's still shopping carts and it's still emails and it's the same stuff, right? Okay, so and I'll tell you what happened. You know, Bill was absolutely right. And there was pent-up demand for this. And I want to say the very first day, I sent one email and got probably 60 or $70,000 of business booked in one day. And you know, after you know, a few emails and you know, and a few days later, I mean, we were at that $150,000, which, by the way, I had used all my little 80-20 theories to figure out how much the sales probably would be, and I was right.
was a
Okay?
cool feeling too.
Well, it was, and it was thrilling, like, to see, okay, you know, here comes the avalanche of pent-up demand, and yes, people do want this. And it was a fantastic coaching run. I had some awesome people, you know, Jeff Hughes, Ari Galper, Sunny Hills, whole bunch of really sharp people, like rose to the top, and it was awesome. And I had blasted through. Most importantly, I had blasted through a mental barrier. It took my business from being a six-figure business to being a seven-figure business. And I ended up actually the personal AdWords coaching program is a staple of what we do now. It's like, okay, this is a sales funnel. This is the beginning. This is the end. This is what's in the middle. We're gonna build one together. And like everything I do kind of revolves around it, and it's helped a lot of people, including you.
Me in a big way. In a very big way. In fact, I well, we can get into it later, but yeah, that the bobsled and the coaching that I went through like radically revolutionized my business, not just because it connected me with you and you know now I'm on your team, but because what it did for the way I interacted with all my clients. I mean, it hammered me through major barriers. I could tell you all kinds about you know, my version of the haircutting story.
Oh,
But
and everybody, except, well, not everybody. There's probably 5% of people that don't have this resistance, but actually, some of them are like psychopaths. They don't have any resistance to anything, and you
And they
know,
should have some resistance.
right. So it's like, I mean, this resistance, you shouldn't look at it like it's some bad, evil thing. It keeps people from being erratic and crazy, but you know, sometimes it has too much control of you. And so what's the point here is that wherever you are in your business and whatever industry you're in, I mean, we have people selling And we had a guy selling Irish drums and tin whistles. And we had another guy selling these very special kind of stainless steel kitchen sinks. And I mean, you wouldn't believe the weird things that people are selling. But it's hard to find a market where somebody can't push the ceiling up a whole number of floors and do something bigger than they've ever done before. And I think one of the things that we do for people is we coach them through that, and we put them in an environment where we're laying it down. We're going, well, you know, we've talked about it. We've talked about your customers. I understand this and you understand it. There's this potential. Everybody agrees. Let's put this in place and let's roll this out to your customers and let's do this. And they have somebody sort of like Bill, because Bill's going to check back with me. You know, I'm going to get a phone call from him, you know, 3 weeks later, like, so Perry, are you doing that? You know, and like, if I should be doing it, then I need to do it.
Yeah.
And this is how you prevail in a marketplace.
Well, it, my observation from bobsled and prevailing in my little corner of the world that I did at the time is, it kind of reminds me of a statement that I've heard before and has an inverse that I think is applicable, and it's that the will to win is nothing without the knowledge to win. Like, you can't just say I'm going to win and pound your chest. You got to have the know-how. And conversely, if you have the know-how but no will to win, and you're just a couch potato stuffed full of all kinds of clever ideas about how to, you know, rock and roll on the internet and win at the Google game, it doesn't do you any good just to have the info. And what bobsled did for me was it gave me the knowledge how to win, and it gave me the will. It gave me the ability to overcome that resistance and like break through the barriers and forget about the haircuts and forget about pushing pencils and just get the stinking thing done, because I knew I was going to be accountable back to you every week, and you were feeding me all the pieces of the puzzle. And if I make one other observation that I think is really cool about what you just said, because I don't want it to be missed by the guys listening, and that is, you had guys doing Irish drums and whistles and guys doing kitchen sinks, and I was doing Forex. I wasn't on the first one, but like, the variety of stuff you and Brian have seen puts you guys in this really cool position of, you have this awesome, you know, this awesome picture and all these puzzle pieces, and you know how to put them together, but you've customized and seen them put together per like dozens, can I say hundreds? I don't know, maybe thousands of different industries. And
well, it's
and,
probably a couple hundred.
Yeah.
That's a lot of different corners of the world.
Well, it is a lot of different corners of the world, and it makes you guys, I mean, you've got something in your hands that I'll bet not, you know, a fraction of anybody out there that understands the internet game has, and that is a breadth of experience in hundreds of different arenas. And so, I mean, when I came to the table at the time with Forex stuff, you didn't even flinch. It was like, oh, we can figure that out. And you did, you know.
We had a framework for it. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, well, okay. Well, here's what you should do.
Right.
You know, it wasn't anything big or mysterious. So, and that actually brings, let's talk about this handout.
Yeah.
We told everybody, well, you know, we're going to give you a tool. And this tool ties completely into what we're talking about today. And it's at perrymarshall.com/beforeafter.
Is that all? That's all lowercase, no space or nothing? Before, after?
Yeah, all lowercase, no spaces. perrymarshall.com/beforeafter.
Okay.
Okay, and we got a little PDF document, and we want you to open the PDF document, and when you do that, you are going to see two circles in a Google page. There's the blue-green circle on the left, the Google search results in the middle, and the red circle on the right.
Yep.
Okay. And this is a picture of marketing. Of like this is the marketing equation that you're supposed to solve. And you solve this and everything happens the way that you want it to. Okay. And I put Google in the middle because I talk about Google AdWords, but that's not the only thing that we could necessarily put there. I mean, we could have radio. It could be a radio station that's in the middle. Okay. But
It's kind of what you're saying is it's kind of the spot where you meet face to face with your customer, whether it's digitally or, over the airwaves. I mean, it's like where you get in front of your customers,
Yes.
basically.
Yes. Okay. So, but we're going to restrict this to Google. And so Google is just this thin surface that you pass through. Okay? They see an ad, they click on the ad, and they instantaneously move from the left side to the right side. Okay? Now, Google AdWords, just all by itself, is everything there is to know about that one click. What keyword was it? What was the bid price? Where was the ad actually seen? Was it on Google search page? Or, was it at answers.com? Or was it on the New York Times website? Or was it on somebody's blog? Okay, and what was it, exact match or was it phrase match? Was the keyword that got triggered actually a little different than the keyword they actually typed in, or was it the same? Okay, what was the copy in the ad? And which ad copy pulled better than the other ad copy when you did a split test? Okay, and inside Google's interface, Google tells you however much stuff they tell you, and they actually tell you a lot of stuff. So there's a lot of ways to kind of view that little event. And when there's thousands of people coming through, then those people collectively, they tell quite a bit of a story, right? Okay, but that's still like that's paper thin. Okay, a guy said to me a few months ago, he said we were talking about 10,000 hours. Like, if you want to be a world class at something, get your 10,000 hours in. Right? If you want to be a world class, like you want to play guitar like Jimi Hendrix, well, you play for 10,000 hours. You might not sound like Jimi Hendrix, but you'll be as good. Like, really? And that's kind of true of anything. Well, he says, so if I want to get my 10,000 hours in pay-per-click, what should I be doing? And I said a very interesting thing to him. I said, there's not 10,000 hours of stuff to even know about pay-per-click. I go, it's a keyword, it's a bid price, and it's an ad. And it's a click. There's not 10,000 hours of stuff to know. But I said, you know what? There's a story before the click, which is the green circle. There's a story after the click, which is the red circle. And if you spend your 10,000 hours figuring out those stories, you'll be a marketing genius. And that's where the battle is won or lost. It's not really about Google AdWords. Part of me would like to tell you it is. Okay, just buy the definitive guide to Google AdWords every month.
We'll update a few sentences and buy it every month.
Well, we won't even do that. Just buy it.
Just buy it every
It's
month.
really the commitment, It's not the material. Just buy it over again and cement your commitment and read it
How
all
committed
over.
are you to your dreams, really? That's the question.
So, but the way I drew these circles is they're bullseyes.
Yeah.
You know, you can hit it on the edge and you get 1 point, or you can hit it in the center and you can get 10 points. And if you can nail the center of both of those, then you're going to dominate a market.
Right.
Okay. And so there's three things that you need to know to nail the center. Okay, yeah. Three things, three before and three after.
Okay.
Now, the ones before, here's the three things. Number one, it's a question that you ask the person who collect. What is the number one problem that you are trying to solve right now? Okay, that's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, how hard has it been for you to find an answer to this question? You know, like not very hard, sort of hard, like very hard, impossibly hard.
I've been searching my whole life, pulling my hair out hard.
Right.
Yeah, like how hard is it? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And number three is, what happened to cause you to come searching today? Or, you know, what caused you to go get on the internet and click on this ad?
Right. There was some kind of precipitating event in their life. Something happened. Some thought came up. Something.
Right. Now, if you know the answer to those three questions, then you have the circle on the left figured out.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Now, there might be a lot of little nuances to all that, but that's, you want to get it down to three questions. There they are. Okay? Now, on the right side, there's three puzzle pieces after that click, and here's what they are. Prospect, customer, hyper-responsive customer. Okay? Now, for example, like in really simple terms, that could be there's the person that just wants to subscribe to your blog or just be on your email list or just take down your white paper or whatever, okay?
Yeah,
like right. That's the lowest level of interest. And then
that's the prospect.
Yeah, that's number one. And number two is a person that'll actually spend money with you.
That's okay. Always a good thing.
That's a good thing. Kind of need those people.
Yes.
All right. And number three is the person that buys from you over and over again, likes you, trusts you, and, you know, maybe even becomes a fan or a, you know, refers a lot of people. Okay.
Yeah. And the hyper-responsor who has an appetite you never can quite satisfy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, like, you could take anything that people become interested in, and there's hyper-responsive people. So, like, there are people who camp out at the U2 concert 2 days ahead of time to get a really great seat.
Right.
Okay, they are the hyper-responsive U2 fan, you know, and if they had a wax... you know, figure of Bono in their bedroom, you know, it still wouldn't be enough, you know.
Yeah.
Can I get a wax figure that talks or sings, you know?
Yeah.
Well, how about Bono? Can I just rent him, like, for a day?
Yeah.
You know?
Whatever the cost is, just tell me and I'll rent him for the day. I just need to rent him.
Right. But seriously... That actually goes back to before the sale, which is you say, how hard has it been for you to find an answer to this question? Really, the people that matter are the ones that say very hard.
Right.
I cannot scratch this itch anywhere else. I have to scratch it here. Okay. And, you know, Glenn Livingston is actually responsible for the first list of questions that I gave you. He's got a whole website, livingstonreport.com. That goes into this, but Glenn points out that only 1 in 2,000 visitors to your website has the capacity to become a hyper-responsive customer. Okay? And you better talk to him right. And that customer, he's more demanding. He has higher expectations. He knows exactly what he wants. It's hard to find. Nobody seems to have it. He's visited every website. He's called every vendor. He knows the lay of the land. If there's some kind of debate or some kind of controversy, he knows all the angles of it. Okay, and if you could give him something that uniquely satisfies his need, he will evangelize. He will tell everybody.
Yeah, which is almost as good or better than him buying all of your stuff, because now he's not a consumer, he's a multiplier.
Yes, he's exactly. And all you have to do is knock him over, knock over that domino, and all these other dominoes will fall. Yeah. Everything else will be easy. Now, yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be easy to satisfy that guy. In fact, you will probably have to think different than all the other vendors in the marketplace and bring some solutions that nobody else has brought. I mean, very, very likely, you know, you're going to have to pull a rabbit out of a hat somewhere.
Right.
But it can be done. And if you do it, you will conquer all.
Right.
And so I want people to understand that, you know, the marketing puzzle, really, it's not vastly complicated. Everything fits into this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what we do, like what we do in the bobsled run, is we help people figure out what are the actual correct answers to the three questions on the left, mm-hmm. and what can you actually sell to the people on the right, and how can you build your business so that there's enough economic scale,
mm-hmm.
where you can actually get more money out of a visitor than anybody else in your marketplace, which I call that the unlimited traffic technique. If you can get more dollars from a customer than everybody else in your market, you can outspend on advertising, and you can be the king of the hill, really, no matter how bloody the battle is. You're basically going to end up on top,
right?
Because you have the best economics and the best conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And so, like, me doing that, like me offering bobsled runs and coaching programs and some of these other things, enabled me to have the best economics in my market, which enabled me to then further serve my customers. Like, now I have to do bobsled runs because I have people that do coaching and I have staff and, you know, I need to provide an evolved education system for my customers. Otherwise, they'll go somewhere else. And it's helped my company, you know, be much bigger, much more successful.
Right.
And similarly, you know, there's a lot of internet businesses out there, you know, and they're kind of humming along and they're doing a certain amount of business. And you're like, we really want to get over the top. We really want to get to the next peg of success here. Well, I want to help you do that. And yeah. I want to help you be a leader in your market. And I want to match you up with people, coaches, and education that will spur you on, put you in a team action group where the other people are like, well, hey, Bob, 2 weeks ago we talked about such and so. Did you do it? How did it work? You talk about, well, I did it. Didn't quite work the way it was supposed to. Here's what happened. Everybody's like, oh, well, why don't you try it this way? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I want everybody to understand that when you do this, it's going to be scary.
Right.
Like it was for me. Every time I've expanded my business, I've had that uneasy, queasy attention deficit disorder, you know, thing going on.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Me too. Yep. Me too.
So yeah, everybody experiences it. It's okay. It's a sign that you're on the right track, actually.
Yeah. There's a flip side that I experienced, that, not to be a contrarian on the call with you, but There was a flip side aspect. There was like this dual feeling I had at bobsled, and one was that I needed to grow my business, and it scared me to death to do it. And so, but there was this other aspect about it, and that was, up until then in my business, really until I latched on to Perry and bobsled and Definitive Guide and whatnot, the fact is that there was a huge part of me that felt like I was just out there in the middle of the ocean paddling my canoe, and from time to time, like, these big boats would pull up alongside of me and they would be my clients, and they'd be like, which way to Tahiti? And I had to be the guy that had all the answers. I had to figure out all the navigation, all the solutions and all the stuff, right? And the thing about when I stepped into this personal AdWords coaching with you into the bobsled run, it was like when I got on those calls, yeah, it was nerve-wracking for me to grow my business, but at the same time, when I got on the calls, it was like, oh, there's somebody else out there going through this crap, and there's a guy that knows answers. Like, I don't got to be the guy that knows all the answers all of a sudden. And it was a huge relief for me, and it freed up my brain to start running faster and faster and faster, because I knew every week I could jump back on the phone and go, all right, I did this, I screwed up on this, I won on this, what's next? And it was a really cool feeling.
It's really liberating not to have to know all the answers, isn't it?
Yeah, and without having to lose my dignity about it. It's like I could, with my clients, in fact, with my clients, I became smarter, bigger, stronger, and more powerful, right? They were like in awe of these incredible ideas that I was coming up with. And on the back end, I'm like snickering because, well, they were your ideas, really, Perry. But, it was like, there's all these cool techniques and the framework and the puzzle was coming together and my clients were giving me accolade and my business was growing, and it was a really cool feeling. So,
well, I stole a lot of those ideas from other people. So,
yeah.
Right. And another thing I think we're seeing is all businesses are really the same.
Yeah.
All businesses are a mechanism where there's a before story and an after story, and if you match what you're offering to both stories, money changes hands.
Yep.
And the person you're talking to gets a little happy juice in their brain.
Yeah.
And that's business. That's how it works. And after a while you begin to see the similarities, and like, well, a Forex business, an Irish tin whistle business, a kitchen sink business, a bankruptcy recovery business, they all provide things to people in exchange for money, and they do it in a certain way, and there's models, and then there are nuances of different markets. Like, there's certain markets that I know people think are real and they're not.
Yeah.
And they go into that market, and then, well, they'll get their lunch eaten.
Yep.
If they don't know, or if I tell them, oh, well, actually I've worked with 10 other businesses that were actually pretty similar to this, and if you want to make this work, here's where the money actually is in that business. And so we do have industry specific expertise sometimes as well, but
well, and even all those nuances, Perry, are wrapped up in this before and after scenario. In other words, what's the nuance of the Forex market, like what I was in when I came on board with you? Well, the nuance was, what's their most pressing question? How hard's it been to find? And, all those kinds of things. And how do you move a guy from a prospect to a customer to a hyper responder and cater to each of their needs and all those kinds of things? I mean, the fascinating thing about it is the puzzle here that we're looking at covers those quirky little nuances and gives you insight into how to solve them.
And sometimes markets don't work because either there's actually no before Right. Where there's actually no after.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a diving board that leads to a painting of a swimming pool instead of a real swimming pool.
Which always hurts when you land.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's always scary to go that higher step.
Yeah.
You're going to feel that queasiness, and that's the first sign that you're on the right track.
Right.
And if you do a belly flop and you screw it up, if you have people that help you figure it out and clean it up, then you can go back and you can make it work.
Right.
So I just want to encourage people, everybody, at least everybody who's sane, you know, has to force the butterflies to fly in formation in their stomach. And the thing that I always liked about direct marketing was, see, when I would get in front of people and do sales calls,
yep.
I had so many demons inside my head, I would always manage to screw it up.
Yeah.
In direct marketing, I could plan it out and I could pound the demons out, mm-hmm. and then just push the button and turn it on and not screw it up.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, I'm screwed up, but the orders are still coming in, so I guess everything's okay.
Well, and there's another aspect of that that you taught me once that really shocked me when you said it, and I've thought a lot about it since, and that is, we were on a coaching call a couple years ago, and you said, or a year and a half ago, whatever it was, and you said to me, well, the thing about AdWords is it's really forgiving. Google is very forgiving. What do you mean? You said, well, you can screw up an ad today, pound out all the mistakes, figure it out, get over all your, you know, whatever you're hung up on, post another ad, and there'll be a continual stream of traffic on that keyword still there, just waiting for you to solve the problem. And I think that's a really powerful thing, because if you jump into the swimming pool and hit concrete first, there's another swimming pool that actually has water in it. And if you have somebody who knows where that pool is, like, okay, you jumped into the pool over here and it was concrete, so that was really painful. But guess what? We can go over to two blocks down the street and take a right-hand turn, and there's a pool that actually has water in it. Come, let's go swim over there, and you can win and dominate your market. So, you know, that's the power of the personal coaching. You could hunt around the neighborhood for weeks on end and try to find that pool with water in it, or you can just have the guy go, oh, it's, you know, two blocks down the street, take a right.
Well, Joshua, you had your own version of that, and I hope I'm not speaking out of school here, but
no.
So you did your Forex thing, which was for a client.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there was this avalanche of money.
Yeah.
Like, how much percent did that business grow in what period of time?
I don't know. It was crazy. The case study is on the website, but it was like, we went from $20,000 a month in sales to like close to 80, 76 or something like that.
Yeah, it was like you quadrupled the business
in
3 or 4 months or something.
Yeah.
And then the demons inside the client's head, like, couldn't stand it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that was...
He did this Harry Carey thing. And, like, one day Josh was like, hey, you remember that business?
Remember that $80,000 a month we were making? You just flushed it down the toilet. Do you mind? Can we go get that again, please? You know, it was like, whoa. Yeah, he like imploded. He hit the eject button. It was crazy.
But how hard was it for you to go, oh, this is transferable?
Oh, it wasn't hard at all. Within a couple of months, I was like back helping other clients and cranking stuff out and growing my own business. It was... The thing about that was, I remember the conversation I had with you when he imploded, and it was like, Perry, this guy just hit the eject button and like sights down and there's all kinds of problems. And I freaked out for about a week, and then I went, wait a minute, the same stuff I did for him, I can do for someone else and I can do for myself. And then we just started moving forward again. It was incredible. It was really cool.
There you go. So, You know, there is life after the eject button.
There is life after the concrete.
And one thing that's true about like every salesperson in the world who's any good, they've all been fired.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's true about all salesmen who are still salesmen, is they will be fired.
Right.
You know, it's like
never.
If you can master the art of selling, you know, on the internet, however, I mean, clients is a great way to practice your chops.
Yeah.
And, you know, or maybe you're doing your own thing, whatever it is. But if you own the knowledge, then you will always write again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, so that's all I got for today.
Well, I think that's pretty cool. I want to make one comment that keeps rolling through my head that I think is really applicable to our conversation, and that is this. One of the dirty little secrets that I have is when I signed up for Google, the AdWords bootcamp with you. Like, I had just come off one of my own mental eject buttons. I had made some good money with some clients before that and had a little bit stashed away, but like, I was teetering on the brink of trying to figure out my own little, finance cycle and being able to break through the barriers and all that kind of stuff. And what it amounted to is the money that I paid to jump into bobsled was really not there. Like, there wasn't a lot of money in the house, and I've got a big family, and there was a lively discussion. So I'm in the middle of this conversation, but we finally came to the conclusion that really, unless I got a mentor and somebody helped me get past the mental blocks, not only to give me the will to win, but also the knowledge to win, I was never going to move forward, and we were going to keep, you know, being stuck where we were. And so we coughed up the money, and it was money that we didn't really have, as I said before. But here's the thing that happened. In the process of going through that bobsled run, those two elements came together. In other words, the knowledge to win, like the puzzle pieces all came together for me. And the will to win, having a mentor at my side to coach me through each step of the way and in some ways hold me accountable, in some ways keep giving me the ideas and helping through the nuances of what I did. Like, that whole process, the return on investment for us taking the gamble or the risk or whatever you want to call it, the investment to step forward and participate, like, that return on investment has paid dividends in the 1,000 percentiles, like over and over and over again. I mean, I 2 months ago, I picked up one client, and you know, my business is obviously picking up clients to coach and do copywriting and whatnot for them. But like, I picked up one client that I picked up directly as a result of implementing concepts from Bobsled Run. And that one client was worth $45,000. That was just one client. And I did that client within about a 2 month period of time. So, you know, the question in my mind is figuring out the before and figuring out the after and having a coach walk me through it. Was it worth spending the effort and the time and the heartache and all that kind of stuff to do it? Well, obviously the answer is absolutely. It's like if I said, hey, Perry, was it worth it for you to avoid getting a haircut and go to the library and write the stupid sales letter, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was worth it to have somebody coach you along and push you through the process. It was
right.
It was absolutely worth it. So anyway, I just, from my perspective, I kind of wanted to flip the coin and say, yeah, Perry, I know bobsled run's been a good deal for you, but guess what? There's hundreds of guys like me out there that it's been a pretty good deal for as well. And you know, the website's got testimonial after testimonial about the great effects that this coaching program's done. And so I guess from a guy that's gone through it, I've actually been through two bobsled runs, as you know. And
well, when you're an alumni, if you stay in the alumni program, you can go back through a second time. I've got one guy who a lot of people would know who he is, but he's been through three times.
Yeah.
And he said he learned very different things every single time. even though the content was similar, he was in a different place and he was hearing different things. And so, I really want to encourage people that we're starting this thing up again. We gave you the map at perrymarshall.com/before/after, mm-hmm. and you know, we narrowed down those bullseyes to the center on both sides of that equation, and it's a real wonderful thing when those victories start coming.
And where do they go to catch all the rest of the details on bobsled for this year, Perry? Because I know there's some new nuances that we don't have time to get into now, but I know there's some really cool new things that you're doing too. So
Just go to bobsledrun.com, and that'll do it. So, cool. Joshua, thank you for giving me your time, and I hope everyone can see that in some way, shape, or form, you will be leading your own customers through a process of going to higher ground, whatever that is. You know, there's some higher level at which you can deliver what you deliver, and some of your customers are waiting for somebody to show up and deliver that. So, you know, be queasy, feel the fear, do it anyway, and experience the victory.
Right on.
Okay?
Let's do it. All right. Thanks, Barry. Appreciate your time, bud.
Thank you, Joshua.